tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness. The loneliness of being misunderstood. Or more poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood.
This is the Quality News Network. An up and down day on Wall Street today as the Dow Jones declined more than 200 points after the opening bell, only to have stocks rebound afterwards. We'll have the closing numbers for you coming up later in our business block. The head of Walter Reed Army Medical Center has lost his job. The two-star general in charge of the medical facility where This is the Quality News Network. The FBI Director, Robert Mueller, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today to convince lawmakers that the FBI is conducting its pursuit of terrorists properly. A recent report by the Justice Department inspector found abuses in how the FBI gathers information on Americans and foreigners. The Senate today is debating and will vote shortly on the Iraq War spending bill, despite threats of a presidential veto. The $122 billion funding bill would provide money for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. It would also have a March 31, 2008 goal for ending the U.S. combat missions in Iraq. In the Persian Gulf, the U.S. has begun a show of force off the coast of Iran. The maneuvers involve two aircraft carriers and warplanes flying simulated attacks. Overall, more than 10,000 U.S. military personnel are involved in these exercises. In the Gulf, 4 days ago, Iran captured 15 British sailors and Marines in what Iran insists were Iranian waters. Iran may charge the British forces with illegally entering the area. The British government says the forces were in Iraqi waters. British Prime Minister Tony Blair said today if the sailors and Marines are not freed, this conflict will enter a, quote, different phase. Blair added there is absolutely no justification for holding them. Throughout Iraq today, at least 65 people were killed in violence, including two nearly simultaneous truck bomb blasts. Dozens were wounded. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow, who had battled colon cancer 2 years ago, has suffered a recurrence. After an operation yesterday on a growth in his abdomen, doctors discovered the disease had spread to his liver. President Bush said, quote, "We need to pray for him and his family." Snow is 51 years old. Former presidential advisor and Hollywood lobbyist Jack Valente is hospitalized in Baltimore after suffering a stroke last week. The 85-year-old is the former president of the Motion Picture Association of America. According to a Harris poll released today, half of Americans who responded say if Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton became the 2008 Democratic presidential nominee, they would not vote for her. In the latest U.S. effort to restart the Middle East peace process, the Israeli and Palestinian leaders have agreed to meet every 2 weeks for discussions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
A 24-year study reveals that taking aspirin may help women live longer. Low to moderate doses of aspirin are particularly helpful for older women predisposed to heart disease. In an Illinois courtroom, jurors took the side of drug maker Merck over its Vioxx pain medication. The pharmaceutical company was sued for the death of an obese 52-year-old woman who suffered a heart attack after taking the pills. The U.S. Justice Department announced industrial manufacturer ITT Corp. will pay a $100 million penalty for illegally sending night vision technology, which the U.S. military uses, to China, Singapore, and Britain. Singular Wireless will introduce mobile banking with four of the nation's banks. Customers will be able to check their account balances, pay bills, and transfer funds between accounts. Consumer confidence decreased in March because of an increase in gasoline prices, along with a drop in home values and an unsettled stock market. That's according to the New York-based Conference Board. San Francisco may be the first city in the U.S. to ban petroleum-based plastic bags in large supermarkets and drugstores. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.93 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 72 points, NASDAQ was down 18, the S&P 500 down 9. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six and a half minutes past the hour. Time for this Tuesday afternoon, early evening, Wednesday morning, depending on where you are on this sweet little blue-green marble time-traveling and hurtling through the universe edition of Head On. I am, of course, Bob. And, you know, cue the flying pigs. Cue the egg-laying sheep. Cue the unicorns. Because we are living now officially in an age of unabated, unmitigated weirdness. Why do I say that? Here's why I say that. Where is it? Come here. There you are. Yeah. In the heart of what has been called the reddest county in the nation, the mere possibility of Vice President Dick Cheney coming to campus is getting some blood boiling. That's right. They want to bring, and, you know, like I said, when, this is pretty upside down and weird. Dick Cheney is scheduled to be the keynote speaker, the commencement speaker, if you will, at the graduation ceremonies of Brigham Young University this spring. And there are a lot of people who... I said Brigham Young University. And it turns out there are a lot of folks who really, really, really don't want that to happen. Nephi Henry is a BYU student. He graduates next month. And he is organizing student protest and opposition to the visit by Big Time Dick. And he said his statement was that it's not appropriate for somebody as inflammatory as Dick Cheney to be at Brigham Young University. He said the vice president does not meet, and, you know, who am I to disagree, does not meet the university's policy on speakers having, quote, a good public reputation and a moral private life. He said it also violates BYU's policy of political neutrality. His words, It certainly looks like the church is endorsing someone of a highly patrician political nature. So, up is down, down is up, black is white, night is day. And there's a big handful of people, including, you know, I don't sit around thinking about BYU. The last time I gave any significant thought to BYU was when they were given that bogus national championship in college football 20 or so years ago that they never earned. Hey, we beat the Old Ladies Institute for the Deaf and Blind 6 times. We're undefeated. Yay! Give us the national championship. But, you know, that's the last time I paid any attention to them. But it turns out that they have a lot of students there because, you know, apparently Mormon missionaries have ridden their bicycles all the way deeply into South America and, you know, done their missionaryizing and telling South Americans that they're really secret lost Jews. Whew. Yeah, I know. But at any rate, there are a lot of Latin American parents. Latin America. You know, oh, I hate that. Indigenous South American parents who have sent their kids there to, I don't know, what would you call it? Harvard on Salt Lake. LDS stake presidents, I have no idea what that means, and parents in Latin America expressing anger that Cheney, whom they call a warmonger, will be representing their children and their church. Now, on the one hand, there is a very mean part of me that just wants to, you know, a collective to those people. But on the other hand, the warm and fuzzy kumbaya part of me wants to say, it's okay, we forgive you your evil and your meanness. Repudiate your nastiness, keep that sorry rat from coming to your campus, and all will be forgiven as long as you promise never to buy into this Republican Party family values garbage again for the rest of your natural born days. We'll leave you, we're Democrats, we'll leave you the hell alone. And you can wear sacred underwear, believe that you're a secret Hebrew, have your little high signs and ride your bicycles, and we don't care. Just get out. Stop this attempt to make the rest of us believe the way you do and stay the hell out of politics. It's not good for you. Because, see, Dick Cheney, if he had his way, he doesn't care how many Mormons he kills. He doesn't care how many Seventh-day Adventurers he kills. He doesn't care how many Jehovah's Witnesses he kills. How many pagans, how many Jews, how many Muslims, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians. He doesn't care. As long as there's a buck in it. Now, maybe BYU has figured that out. But still, according to BYU spokesperson Kerry Jenkins, there's still no current plans currently to eliminate Cheney as a part of the graduation ceremony. You know, I love the way that reads. This is from some paper called the Daily Herald. Listen to this again. BYU Marriott School... Despite the opposition, BYU spokeswoman Kerry Jenkins said that there are currently no plans to eliminate Cheney as a part of the graduation ceremonies. Oh, I love bad journalism. And now, as part of our graduation ceremonies today, you good little Mormons, we've got a treat in store for you. We're going to eliminate Dick Cheney. Oh, help me.
There are currently no plans to eliminate Jeannie as part of the graduation ceremonies.
Light the torch!
And now, children, as you graduate, we will be handing Dick Cheney a pound of crispy fried bacon slathered in butter. This is the portion of the program where we eliminate Dick Cheney. Oh, bad writing. Sometimes it just makes my day. But that's a place to start. That does show the change that's taking place in America. Our good buddies over at WD40.com today noted that those supporting the war and those supporting George Bush are just about equal at this point at 33% and 32%. And that jibes with something that I have said for a long, long time, and that is, by the end of the Bush presidency, we will see a point in time where the only thing left in the way of support for this administration will be the hardcore, cancerous little knot of people who call themselves Americans, who would support George Bush and swear that it was a baptizing in the River Jordan if they caught him live or on videotape drowning kittens. And I must admit, this is hopeful. This is indeed very much a hopeful thing. Now, okay, I tell you what. Well, we've got folks on the line, and I hate to keep people waiting. Let's see what's cooking. By the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, Agnes took the night off, the day off. So I'm answering the phones. If you're listening and you get put on hold, then assume that I will come to you presently, as I am doing now. Hey, who have I got?
Good evening, Bob.
Hey, David.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, if I was any better, I'd be on a little island somewhere drinking things right out of coconuts with umbrellas in them.
You know, I like it when universities wake up, even though I may not like really support them or really know that much about them. Like with the Jeb Bush and how they...
Yeah, at the University of Florida.
How they rejected him, yeah. And I think a lot of that... I think it comes down to a simple thing. I mean, do you know how hard it is to be a progressive? I mean, really, think of all the information. And then they give you the easy route. Like, all you have to do is say you like American Eagles and the American flag and SUVs. Hey, that sounds good.
And here's your yellow ribbon magnet and your American flag.
Right.
Congratulations to you.
Right, and then, but then when it starts to affect you, you know, I've gotten in a conversation with some conservatives, and this is their answer to it. We go, well, our country's falling anyway. I'm like, what? You know, it's excuse after excuse because, you know, it really comes down to it that people don't want to admit, wow, that's a lot of energy and a lot of time. And I'm just too weak for that. Really.
I'm not strong enough.
Really, it comes down to that, you know? I mean, look, Gonzalez thinks... now, listen, people, if you listen on the radio, Gonzalez thinks he can literally go on these Meet the Press type shows and go, oh, boy, I'm going to show up good tonight and just sit down and try to explain himself. He literally thinks that in his own mind.
Well, things are going to... Yeah, I can't help but be convinced that things are going to start getting just a little bit weird for Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh, and it's going to get weird for us too, Bob. You know, I don't know whether to believe it or not. But did you see that article on Mike Malloy about Webster Tarpley talking about the Operation Bite?
No, I missed that one.
Operation Bite is the plan to attack Iran. I mean, he's putting himself out there once again, and I think he's been wrong a few times. But anyways, Operation Bite is supposedly, I'm not kidding you, the name that they're going to use for the attack on Tehran. It's supposed to last 12 hours, and it's supposed to start April 4th, I believe.
April 4th?
That's what Tarpley's saying. I mean, I don't... You see, I don't know when you have people who are on Rents.com, and you know, when they come out with this stuff,
I go to Rents.com and things like that, and I feel like I need to drop acid before I do.
I know. You know, it's an example of Jerome Corsi. He's out again. I don't know if you saw that on that post on Malloy.com, but there's a thing where Jerome Corsi made an article, and it's about Alberto Gonzalez, and you can trust Jerome Corsi about as far as you can throw him.
Well, wait, isn't Jerome Corsi the author of Swift Voting John Kerry or whatever? Isn't that the same guy?
Yeah, he's also the author of Target Iran. Yeah, I mean, he's like the biggest disinfo agent. If people can't see that, I mean, you really need to check get a check for your mentals. I mean, really, it's just so obvious now. But anyways, he's talking about Gonzalez, and I kid you not, he's saying, but here's the funny thing, dude. I mean, here's the funny thing. This is where I kind of believe him partially, because he says Alberto Gonzalez was a part of holding sex parties in Texas.
Well, that showed up on Bart Cop today too, David.
I know.
And it comes from World Nut Daily.
Right, and Jerome Corsi is the author of that.
Yeah, and.
And I'm wondering, are we supposed to take the beta? Does he not even realize his name is the? No, nobody even trusts his name. You know what it's like? It's like in comparison to like the disinfo agent that came into Nova M that they kicked out, John Loftus. Did you see that when I sent you?
Yeah.
No, what do you think of that? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't listened to the guy. Okay, I've seen a lot of complaints. I don't listen to the guy.
Right.
Because we're sort of doing something over here at that time, if you know what I mean.
But don't you think it's kind of suspicious when he's an Xbox News contributor and he gave...
Well, now come on. Let's apply a little bit of Occam's razor here, David. because, I don't know, I'm using my... How can I put this? I'm looking at this from a radio standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay? You've got a going concern, an organization. You're trying to develop talents. You're trying to develop programming, and you've got 9 dozen discs demos on your desk.
Right.
And if you've ever been anywhere near any of this, you know that a demo disc is really not fair, because that's the talent taking his absolute dead level best and making it shine like new money. And you don't and you don't get an idea from it, because you simply don't know until you hear the dude do 3 hours or 2 hours or however long he's going to do. You know, for all you know, there are pregnant pauses and he stutters just like me, and you could drive a truck through the gaps in his conversations.
But then you
pick it up and you, hey, this is compelling. I mean, look at this. This guy's got this, you know, broad history of blah, blah, blah. And I guarantee you that on the resume that comes with the disc, it doesn't say, by the way, I got a family in California terrorized.
Yeah, I know. But do you think he was friends with the guy who started the NovaM network?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, they just struck me as odd as that little tidbit on that, and again, I don't really have anything against these people. I mean, I understand they're mercenaries of media, kind of like what Corsi's doing, and you know, they got to get in where they fit in.
Well, this is a brutal business.
Oh, without a doubt, I don't think people understand that once you go in into this tip, as soon as you call your website Prison Planet, you're branded for life. You know, no matter how happy it is, no matter what happens, God comes down, bunnies start dancing, it's still a prison planet.
I like the dancing bunnies part.
Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, you click on the website and you beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
If liberals somehow got in power and we had all the right policies, people like that would come out of the woodwork and they would say, there's something nefarious about this. And it doesn't matter if we weren't reaching for power or nothing. It would just be in their mind. The wheel would turn and turn, and you know, and all.
Dude, look at the number of people who are convinced that Janet Reno personally offed the children at Waco. Yeah, there's nothing new in this. Whoever's in power, there's always a really really woo, you know, out there fridge on the other side that's convinced that. I mean, I remember during the Clinton years, and I got a couple of years on you, David. But I'm not trying to rub it in or anything.
Yeah.
But I remember during the Clinton years, driving around and seeing rusted out old pickup trucks with bumper stickers on it said, I love my country, but I fear my government.
Yeah,
You know, and these are the other side of the bumper had you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold dead fingers. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And Bill Clinton never tried to take a single firearm from a single human being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to, you know, it's the problem with the people have just lost so much trust in everything, and there's no really reason like. Well, why do you hate government so much? Didn't government build your roads? And they're like, well, I don't know about that. And they'll just, like, walk away from you or something.
Right. Well,
didn't government help with your electricity? Nah, I don't know.
I don't favor no government handouts.
And then as soon as you say, like, something like a foreign name or something, well, there it is right there, because that guy, he is an American. And you know, it's just a constant, like, I don't know. It's just such a narrow-minded line. I mean, I think of it like a lot of people in the backwoods areas and some of the suburb areas too. I think they have those secret militiamen meetings, and you know, they work up the people and they say, "This is what you got to say to our community right here." They go
yeah.
out there.
You're learning the dialect, David.
What's that?
I said, you're learning the dialect.
Yeah.
I said, well, I got to say in the community right here. Yeah, you betcha there.
Yeah, and then, you know, they go out there and they say what they have to say. And again, people ask, well, why is that? Well, because, again, it goes back to niche branding. You get in where you fit in. It's like you said, a brutal business. There has to be those types of people because they realize, oh, there's a market in that. And maybe they start believing it themselves, but... I mean, this is the kind of thing that is chock full of in the RNC now.
Well, look at, I mean, now that we know going back to 2003, the year leading up to ConCon in New York City when they renominated the little dude with the jug ears and the pig eyes that's in the White House. When they renominated him for a year before that, the New York City police were out infiltrating groups. They infiltrated billionaires for Bush.
These guys are so bad, Bob. I feel bad about it. But I feel like, is Tony Snow faking still?
See, you know, I loathe myself for thinking that,
I know, but I do too. I know, but you know what? That's probably part of it intentionally, too. They said, hey, when something really bad and tragic happens, they're going to think it's all a political ploy. So that'll be good for our side. Come on, Tony, get on board. We don't care if you have cancer.
Need somebody to counteract the Edwards cancer. Okay, who here can get the cancer? You've had it before, Tony. You're good at it. You get the cancer.
Did you hear any of the Dana Perino? I swear, those briefings are like Toonses to me. Saturday Night Live.
Toonses. Oh man, you're on tonight. Toonses the cat.
Yeah, Toonses the cat. That's what I think of Dana Perino. When she's talking, I'm like, damn. I mean, this. I cannot believe this is their alternate. This is who they have, Bob. And they think, wow, is this good? You got some consultant in the room going, yes. Dana Perino's giving it back, and they don't even realize. I mean, she has no answer for anything.
Well, was it Mike who has started a contest for giving her new name?
I
saw that. I think I saw that in our own chat room this morning. And the first thing that came to my mind was Dana Perineal. But that may be a little too highbrow and too medical. But yeah.
Yeah, and you know what really plays with my mind is that Dana Perino. I saw her first day, and I was like, and then they came out with the news today that Tony Snow cancer was metastasizing, and I was like, now is that because I hate to say it, but hey, they've done this to themselves, Bob. So I don't feel any guilt in this. I'm like, now is that because that Dana Perino did such a poor job of presenting herself to the American public that they had.
No, it's because she comes off like Moon Zappa. Well, that's an insult to Moon.
Moon Zappa.
You know, I mean, like, she's got all the upspeak, you know, like, oh my God, Tony's got cancer.
She's Julie Brown. She's Julie Brown.
Oh my God. Yeah, gag my liver.
And you know, I just wonder, what if. If you saw the briefing today, it was like half of Tony Snow. Is this what it's going to be like? Every single day you're going to have half a briefing on Tony Snow? What's he like? How's he feeling? Is he wearing his bracelet? And is he playing the flute?
Has he got his Be Strong liver bracelet on?
Yeah,
we're mean. We're just mean. There's lots of people out there suffering. And see, that's the part of it that really does make me a little bit mean, David.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, it's like back when St. Reagan died, okay? And everybody said, oh, poor Nancy. She had that entire burden of taking care of that doddering old fool as he crept all over himself for the last 10 years. Poor Nancy. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. Sure, poor Nancy, who had an army of caregivers around her. What about my next door neighbor? Okay,
right.
Who nursed his wife through kidney failure and dialysis and crushing diabetes for 15 years.
What about the little 10-year-olds who got cancer from the depleted uranium we dropped on?
Well, you know, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And I'm supposed to get broke. I'm supposed to get up, get all broken up about Tony Snow?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan, really.
Yeah, sorry. You know, sorry.
I think the biggest problem with the whole, like I said, I can't trust any kind of disease that someone has, whether it's terminally ill or not. I'm sorry. I don't have any reason to think that, oh, Elizabeth Edwards, she's doing this for her campaign, like, you know.
Well, no, see, I don't believe that about the Edwardses. There's no reason to believe
right,
that.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
On the other hand, the Bush administration look, if they told George Bush that he could be maximum dictator for life and all he had to do was take that hateful old freak who bore him out in the middle of the street and slit her throat, he'd do it. Actually, he'd tell Carl, too.
Yeah, he would tell him. You know, there's just so much that... like I said, I don't feel any guilt of not...
Hey, Carl, me. Take my mom out in the middle of the street and slit her throat, would you? I'd get to be maximum dictator if you'll do that. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just where I am. I'm sure I'm pissing people off, and I apologize.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I was looking at Democratic Underground and all these posts, I mean... And it's funny, when someone said something about Tony Snow, and I just thought, this is a democracy now? They would go literally on the boards, and they'd be like, oh... We can't have that. We're going to delete that post. I saw it on Crooks and Liars, too, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Is this all because of the Huffington Post thing?
I frankly don't know.
I mean, I personally think just let people speak their minds. I don't think it was as bad as people made it out to be. They were just expressing themselves. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know. It's, again, going over that line a little bit. It's like, well...
Listen, you know, David, as far as cancer is concerned... this is a reality.
Yeah, I know.
And the reality is this. We live in 21st century America. And 21st century America, and for the most part, the 21st century globe, has been poisoned. Okay? The stuff we eat, the stuff that's on the stuff we eat, the tests that show that there are components of rocket fuel in mother's milk and lettuce... Lettuce, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on. The crap in the air, we want to build 400 or more coal-fired power plants all over the country that's based on technology from the 1960s that's just going to dump tons and tons and tons of carbon dioxide and mercury into the atmosphere, which comes back to Earth. And you know, mercury's not good for you.
Yeah.
So the odds are that by virtue of living in this poisoned place,
you know,
a lot of us are going to wind up having cancer and dying from cancer. Because this is not... I'm sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off or anything or rail and rant at you, but I love the conversations we have. The fact of the matter is, to the extent that you look backwards in history... You don't have this kind of stuff at the level we have them. For autism, we don't have a historical record of massive amounts of autism in American or children around the world. It starts about 1980, and then it just blossoms like some toxic flower.
You know, it'd be interesting to know where Tony Snow grew up in terms of the city, and I bet you he grew up in part real toxic environments.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And I'm not talking political.
The high school where I went for 4 years in Alabama,
yeah,
had this fuzzy looking little roof in the commons area. You know what that was? It was asbestos.
I was gonna say, yeah.
You know, I don't harbor any delusions. I smoke like a chimney. But I also eat and drink and breathe.
Right.
And live on the earth. I live in West Virginia. This place has been poisoned for 100 years and more. It used to be so filthy that streams coming out of hollers would turn the banks like bright neon orange from the from the acid mine drainage coming out. I live in a third world country, okay? I don't maintain any illusions about cancer, and so the idea of having some sort of low rent hissy about Tony Snow,
yeah,
I'm not impressed.
And yet, look what we're doing. And it's funny that it came, you know, again, I hate this, but it's funny it came right after Edwards.
Well, see,
like
that
someone just said, go, in the room with the headset. Go, Tony, go.
Yeah, well, that's what I said the other night. You know, it's the little White House strategery meeting. We cannot afford to lose the cancer battle. We've got a cancer gap here. Somebody needs to step into the cancer gap. Go, Tony.
And you know, Bob, one last thing before I go. When Dana Perino today was saying that how Tony was fighting it, he said he was fighting the battle aggressively. You notice everything they fight aggressively, it always turns out wrong.
They lose. Precisely. Exactly. Thanks a lot, David. You take it easy, all right?
Bob and Bob, later.
Bye now. All right, like I said, Agnes is not producing this evening, so this may be a daggum marathon. I don't know. I've got folks on hold, though, so I'm just going to go to them as it happens and find out who's where. Hey, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Susan.
The age of miracles has not passed.
Okay. Namely with BYU?
The Senate Grossbein.
Well, yeah, they kind of did, Susan. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but the Republicans decided to let this go through knowing that whatever happened, that their dear leader would veto it.
Oh, yeah, but now that once he vetoes it, then he gets to be hounded by, you don't support troops. See how he likes it.
Well, I want to believe that's going to happen. I really, really want to believe that that's going to happen. I don't know if it will happen.
It's going to happen from my end because it's going to be the first thing out of my mouth the minute he vetoes that.
Well, I think, good.
Over the internet.
Yeah, all over the internet. And the next thing becomes a question of, will CNN, will MSNBC, will CNBC, will Fox?
Probably not.
No, they won't. I watched the I don't know if you went and looked at it, the audio I played last night of Bush doing Sunday Bloody Sunday. You go and you watch that video, and I looked at Agnes and I said, you know, what would this man do if he actually saw that? I mean, we know what kind of vile, childish temper he has.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of fit would he have if Carl came in and said, sir, look here, yeah, this is great.
On another note, Gene put it up on the blog, and Guy mentioned it earlier today, before he went in for his surgery, Tony made it a point to hit all the talk shows and going around, and the one thing that he emphasized was, the Congress has no oversight over the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise known as the big lie. You know, it's straight out of Goering's playbook.
Sure.
And if anybody believes, you know, is tempted to believe this, please don't, because that's the same deal that the Nazis pulled. And it got a lot of them hung at Nuremberg.
Well, what blew me away is that if you have a look inside, and God knows, don't buy it, and I would suggest not touching it. It's probably bad for you. The delay book uses the big lie argument, and he accuses Democrats of being Nazis.
Uh huh. Yeah, did you hear what Oberman had to say about that?
No.
Oh, yeah, he did a special conference.
I haven't, you know, Luke told me about that last night, and I haven't gotten around to looking at it.
It'll probably be up on Crooks and Liars.
Probably. So it was a dandy?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't very long, and he didn't save it to the end of the show, but it was very, very pointed. Among other things, I'm afraid Tom is rather lacking in scholarship, and he's pointed that out. Pointed some really, really clever thing here.
Well, I imagine he kind of parboiled his brain all those years being adulterous and fornicatorous in the hot tubs there when he was earning his nickname of Hot Tub Tom DeLay.
Yeah, between that and the insecticide, sure.
Yeah, huffing that stuff's not good for you either.
Oh, yeah, it's just icky. Anyway, I shall let you get along, but we can, if anybody wants to do something, they need to call the Democratic members of the Senate and say, well done, keep it up.
Exactly, I agree. Thank you very kindly, Susan.
You're more than welcome. You say hi to Agnes for me.
I sure will, wherever she may be. Actually, it's our youngest birthday today, so she's in there spending time with them. She couldn't talk me away from the microphone, but
has to do it.
Right, exactly. Your birthday should be special. Thanks, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, I don't know, maybe I should invite birthday girl back here to hang out for the show. That ain't exactly a celebration, though, is it? Nah, not really. I'll tell you what. We're going to knock off for a second and take a quick break. When we come back, how about soggy missiles? Soggy missiles. You like that? I like that. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as school.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. About 14 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's a little dust up we have every Monday through Friday afternoon, 6 to 9 p.m. If you're not familiar with the program, if you just happened by listening at iTunes or accidentally found us on the internet, welcome. Everyone is welcome. All points of view, anything and everything. Because after all, I'm not just a talker. I'm not just a host. I'm a conversationalist. I do this without a microphone, he said, smacking his microphone. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Jim calls in. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you this evening?
I'm okay.
I couldn't help but overhear part of the conversation that you had with your previous, well, not previous caller, but your penultimate caller.
Yeah, David from Maine.
At one time in my life, I had to survive 3 months of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you, in oncological hospitals, there are no such things as Republicans or Democrats. And let me tell you something. It can make a believer of you in the sweetness of life, and it can make all the differences that people have just seem like absolutely nothing. Cancer, of course, is a neoplastic disorder of which there are 300 different types, a straight man or beast. And as far as Tony Snow is concerned, even though I don't like what he says or what his boss tells him to say, I have compassion for him as a human being, just as I do for Mrs. Edwards or any other person who is stricken by it.
Now,
and
Jim,
I say that as a Christian, as a man who has compassion for anybody that I would stop by and give a drink of water to who is by the road thirsty or who is in need of whatever. That is all I have to say.
Well, wait, Jim. Hang on a second.
And I don't want to hear people rejoicing over Tony Snow or talking about
Jim, you want to have a conversation or you want to rail? You want to have a conversation or you want to rant?
I listened to enough of that.
Okay. Now, Tony Snow already lost his colon to cancer, okay? He suffered cancer. Now, you just suggested that it provides a perspective of some sort of leavening or sweetening to life to survive it. What happened to Tony Snow? Why is he still doing the sleazy business of this administration when he's already been when he's already stared death in the face once?
Well, maybe he doesn't think what he does is sleazy. I don't know.
Maybe he's a bad person.
Maybe I cannot speak for him, and I don't speak for other people, Bob. I speak only for myself.
As do I, and as does everyone else who calls this program.
I think not at times, but anyway, I can only speak for myself, and I only speak to this through the eyes of the fact that this man is a human being, and, you know, just as Mrs. Edwards is a human being, when I saw on the internet last night that there was a metastatic involvement in her hip, it made me feel very, very, very sad.
As it did me.
This is something I would not wish upon anybody, because I have enough compassion in my heart as Christ has dictated that I should.
Is that why you have compassion in your heart, Jim? Because Jesus told you to, or do you have it because you're a decent human being?
He certainly helped. He certainly helped, because there was a time in my life when I wasn't such a good human being, when I was very cruel, when I learned things that he taught me that I know that what I did was wrong. And he helped turn my life around, Bob. And I'm not ashamed to say it.
Well, good. But, you know,
I hope that the same will happen to you and some of your...
No, Jim, don't start that. Don't tell me what Jesus is going to do for me, because I'm a good enough human being, just
worry,
fine
sure
as I am, okay? You got that?
I'm sure he won't even bother you.
He hasn't so far.
And I'm sure he will not even in the future. Be rest assured, he is only receptive to those who are receptive to him. So don't worry. So you have a good evening, Bob.
All right. Yeah, okay. Go talk to your invisible creature, Jim. God, that pisses me off. I try not to let things get under my skin. But to pontificate about you or about me or about the spiritual qualities of anybody else is no better than what the Republican right does. In fact, it's the same damn thing the Republican right does. Do not dare to comment upon my spirituality or lack thereof. Because I'm just chock-a-block with it. That's why I don't buy fairy tales. That's why I know, for instance... Now, see what? I've been sidetracked. But here, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. That's why I know, for instance, that 2,000 years of fascination on the part of the church with the Virgin Mary is a bunch of caca, because the word virgin that's translated in the New Testament comes as a translation of the Hebrew out of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament word that was translated is Alma, and Alma doesn't mean virgin, it means little girl. But, you know, so what, huh? We are human beings. We are either good human beings or we are bad human beings, and it makes not a whit of difference what happened 2,000 years ago as to whether or not we are good. You may believe that it has changed you, but at the end of the day, would you commit murder without religion? Would you just go out and steal something from your neighbor without religion? Of course you wouldn't. Because, you see, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is universal. It's human, not supernatural. If you're only being good because you think you'll get pie in the sky when you die, then you're not being good. Go and read Mark Twain's The Man Who Corrupted Hadleyburg. At the beginning, you know, Hadleyburg was a very pious town. At the beginning, their seal said, "Lead us not into temptation." By the time the story's over, they've changed their seal and it says, "Lead us into temptation." A goodness that's based on a hope of a future reward is no goodness at all. Jesus, God, that annoys me. As far as Tony Snow is concerned, I don't give a tinker's damn what happens to Tony Snow. I feel some modicum of human sympathy for what happens to his family, because they're inexorably tied to his stinking, lying, corrupt, right-wing Republican hide. You know, I'd like to sit here and tell you, oh, you know, I'm going to go and light some incense and candles and bounce some tennis balls for Tony Snow. Horse hockey, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care what happened to Tony Snow yesterday. I don't care what happens to Tony Snow tomorrow. And I damn sure don't care what happens to Tony Snow today. Any more than he cares what happened to me. That's realism. He's dealing with something awful happening inside him that has nothing to do with the will of an uncaring, impotent, or evil God. One or the other. I mean, that's really what you got to come down to. He's either evil or he's impotent. Or else, you know, with Tony, what with him being on God's side and everything, God would just heal him right up, wouldn't he? Well, his ways are inscrutable. His ways are idiotic. You know, here's a question for you. People are all the time praying, you know, God bring a healing to so-and-so. Heal his cancer. Make his tumor go away. Let the blind see. Why didn't anybody ever pray that God make a foot grow on an amputee? Why isn't the entire staff of Oral Roberts University up there in Oral's old prayer tower praying for legs to grow back on Iraq war veterans? Huh? Because they know it won't happen. The only miracles they buy into are the miracles that can't be seen. Got a few minutes here before we go to the top of the hour news. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I want a piece of that, boy. I really do. That was bad. That was bad. You know, we have a world in crisis right now. That was bad. I'm sorry. But that's the way I feel about it. That was bad. Come on with that, whatever, pronunciations or whatever, or pontifications. I'm sorry. Are you still there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere.
That was sad to hear that from a man that said he worked in the bowels of the Pentagon. That was sad, and I doubt very seriously that if he has any credentials that can put him on any base on the planet that has the United States in front of it. And I would wish that that man would have the courage call me and give me his credentials, because I'll give him mine.
Yeah, well, let's not get into a challenge, because it ain't going to happen,
okay.
And it doesn't do anybody any good. I just don't you better be afraid to die because somebody's going to toast you on a pitchfork in hell like an old marshmallow. That's not going to make me a better or a worse person, Bob.
It's not going to give us anything. It doesn't give anything, Bob. You know, when people give, they just give up their heart. They give up themselves. Like the old Sarge does. He gives up himself. He works to help people that he doesn't even know. He doesn't even think about them. He just tries to help people in need. And that is what this Yeshua taught us, you know? This brown skin carpenter from Palestine way back when, he taught us to love one another as I have loved you.
And that's the way I understand it. But that's common sense, isn't it?
No, it's the truth. If you love each other, how can you hurt each other? How can you bomb? How can you destroy? How can you attack?
National security, Bob.
I just had to rebut.
I understand, but we're running out of time, so, yeah.
But, hey, life and love and prosperity to you and all, and to all of our friends out there on the Internet that just connect with the Head-On Radio Network. Get involved. Do something for yourself. Fight against this stupidity. That's the only challenge that I give to anybody. Fight your own stupidity first, and then fight against the stupid people that you have to encounter every day. And Bob, you do a good job. You do a wonderful job. And Agnes, rest her soul. She is a wonderful woman, I am very happy that you are mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks,
and
Bob.
Thank you.
You take care.
Good night.
Bye now. You know, I don't want to do any on-air bickering, but I'm not going to I'm not going to put up with that crap. You know, you better be careful because of the hereafter. Give me some evidence of the hereafter. Evidence. Not the latest, you know, no. Evidence. But that's me. So we'll be back after the news. This is the Head-On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Big Bad Bob Kincaid.
But don't remember the heat.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate has voted to keep the pullout timetable as part of its Iraq war spending bill. The Democratic-controlled Senate voted mostly along party lines in support of withdrawing U.S. combat troops from Iraq by next March. It's the strongest challenge yet to the administration's handling of the war. The bill will provide administration-requested funding for the war, but the White House has insisted the president will veto any bill containing a withdrawal timetable. Today, the U.S. Navy launched its largest demonstration of military might in the Persian Gulf since the invasion of Iraq. The war games will be conducted off the coast of Iran. The Iranian Navy is also conducting training maneuvers in the area. It began its war games last week. Iran says the 15 British troops arrested Friday at the mouth of the Persian Gulf are now being questioned to determine whether they were spying. Britain says the sailors and Marines were on a routine anti-smuggling assignment. In June 2004, 8 British military personnel were seized by Iran in the same disputed waters. Those were released unharmed 3 days later. The FBI director, Robert Mueller, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today to convince lawmakers that the FBI is conducting its pursuit of terrorists properly. A recent report by the Justice Department inspector found abuses in how the FBI gathers information on Americans and foreigners. A U.S. district judge today threw out a lawsuit against former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, alleging torture in overseas military prisons. The case was brought on behalf of 9 former prisoners held in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Judge Hogan said that Rumsfeld cannot be held personally responsible for actions made in connection with his government position. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says Israeli and Palestinian leaders have agreed to begin meeting every 2 weeks for talks that may lead to discussions of a Palestinian state. U.S. and U.N. leaders have been visiting the region in the last 3 days, pushing hard for the official peace talks. And Defense Department contractor ITT Corps will pay a $100 million penalty for illegally sending classified night vision technology to foreign countries, including China. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
An Australian environmental group dedicated to ridding the country of poisonous toads has captured one of the largest cane toads ever seen. The creature's 2-pound body is the size of a football. Cane toads are not indigenous to Australia and are deadly to the native animals and reptiles of the country. A 24-year study reveals taking aspirin may help women live longer. Low to moderate doses of the drug are particularly helpful for older women predisposed to heart disease. Now, a laboratory study using rats indicates the antioxidants found in blueberries and grapes may help prevent colon cancer. A separate study on humans aims to discover whether blueberries help prevent cancer of the esophagus. And the leading website for the nation's veterinarians has reported the deaths of 104 cats and dogs from pet food tainted with rat poison. That's far more than reported by the FDA. And the Consumer Confidence Index fell 4 points this month, showing consumers are spending less, and that's bad news for retailers. Experts say the lower-than-expected numbers indicate general concern over the recent volatility in the financial markets and concerns over the future job market outlook. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.93 a barrel. The close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 72 points, the Nasdaq down 18 points, and the S&P down 8 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to the several phone calls I received during the break. Thanks for your support. There is nothing more vile on the face of this planet than religious bigotry, and you can count on me. I promise you that. You can always count on me to oppose religious bigotry wherever I find it. It's, well, let's see if we can, I don't know, let's see if we can get past it. Because there is a bunch of stuff out there in the news that deserves a hard look. Among other things, I mentioned it in the last hour before I sort of got sidetracked into the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition here on a Tuesday. But it has come out. Did you see this today? Unfortunately, I don't have the text in front of me because my browser crashed right after the start of the show.
Bob, why don't you? Yeah, you need to learn to work paperlessly and save a pulp tree.
You know, they farm those trees. It's not like they're going out in the woods and cutting them. No, stop it. But anyway, suffice to say that I've quit printing out all my stories, you know, because, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm Cyber Bob. And, you know, when the browser goes, everything you've got lined up for the show goes with it. So I have tried to pull some of the stories back up, but one of them I couldn't find. It turns out last year, long about the same time that the fine folks in, you know, I kid, about the same time that the North Koreans were exploding a nuclear device instead of feeding their people, we were hard at work on our missile defense system. Yeah. And all of our super double secret probation missile shooting down missiles, a bunch of them are up in Alaska. And they got some torrential rains. You know what happened? You ever seen what happens when you soak down some firecrackers? About the same thing. The multi-billion dollar super secret, oh boy, we've got the world by the tail, Star Wars missile defense system was taken down by rain. Now, if Kim Jong platform shoes had actually had a missile that could reach us, would you wait till attack us till the sun's out? Because Georgia's rockets don't work in the rain. The missile silos flood dead. You know, if it had been, I don't know. I mean, I could, if I was a cartoonist and I could draw, I did draw a little missile. You know, God, what a bunch of incompetent goofs! Yeah, I wish. I don't know. I don't even know what the law would look like, but a bill passed through the House and the Senate saying, George, go sit in the corner till January 20th, 2009. Don't touch anything. For those of you with kids, and you love them dearly, but when they were little, did you ever have those days when just everything they touched just went, and finally you said, look, sit down, read a book, do something, just sit down while I clean up what the rest of the... That's what America really wants and needs to say to George Bush. Just go sit and take Dick with you, and, you know, we'll keep an eye on you both. We won't let him shoot you in the face or anything, but just sit and be quiet while we clean up the mess, please. The missile silos flooded. The missile silos flooded. Oh, what was it he said on the campaign trail back in 2000? Why, we've got a number of divisions that if they were called up to war would have to say, not ready for duty, sir. Well, I guess missiles can't talk, so somebody will have to call him up and say, George, your highfalutin multi-billion dollar Star Wars defense system that you insisted that we build instead of fixing the highways, they're underwater. We can't use them. Sorry.
Where the hell do I live? This used to be a nation that could do anything. Super uber competent. But now, you know, well, we've got a government that's pretty much run by the defense industry that doesn't even care if the crap works as long as they get paid. Check clear? Oh, yeah. It's sort of the Don Nealon approach to national defense. Does it work? Who cares? Did the check clear? I don't have to win the bowl game. Did the check clear? Did the check clear? Maybe that's the new motto for the Department of Defense. Did the check clear? Let's go to the phones. Our good friend King David McKenzie calls in from Wisconsin. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Surviving, I think.
Well, you know, sometimes that's as best as can be hoped.
You know, getting our first good rain of the year at the moment. But there was something that happened the last couple of days that I thought probably should be mentioned, considering the nature of the man's work. And that's a country singer from the 1960s named Henson Cargill.
Okay. Help us out a little.
Okay. His biggest hit was something called Skip a Rope, if that title sounds familiar at all. It was a crossover top 20 pop hit as well as a number one country hit.
Wow. You've got me licked on this one. Take me along.
And he had a habit. You know, he put out six albums of country material. Some of it would be the standard country kind of song. You know, the lost love and the sorrowful kind of things. But
yeah, cry in your beer kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in between those tracks on most of his albums, he would place into it social commentary tunes that were almost worthy of Phil Oakes.
Okay.
You know, skewering involvement in Vietnam, you know, mindless conformity, neglect of the poor, the waste involved in the space race, that kind of thing. And
okay.
Aside from Skip a Rope, his career went relatively unnoticed by most folks, but certainly the idea of a song like Skip a Rope, which I hope maybe Billy Shears might be able to get you an MP3 of it if I don't find mine.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things that once you hear it, you know, you say, oh, yeah, I remember this thing from back when. The idea of a country song like Skip a Rope having number one level success is rather unusual when you consider the kind of material that's on the country charts nowadays.
Well, so true with regard to what you just said. There are country or sort of crossover country artists. A good friend of the show, Will Kimbrough, whose album American Itis contains some of the most profound anti-war messages out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another album coming out in April that I'm going to be really tickled to play when that time comes that'll just blow you away as well. To get it on in mainstream country, sorry.
No way. Yeah, in fact, I'm under the impression that if Cargill came out with that record today, somebody like Gretchen Wilson or Toby Keith would probably, or the combine of the two, would probably come out with a response song telling Cargill to mind his own damn business.
Or Toby Keith would threaten to put a boot somewhere on Cargill. Yeah.
You know, a physiological impossibility, but he still would want to try to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he passed away in Oklahoma actually this past weekend. I guess he had some complications from a surgery that he underwent last week.
Yeah, he's 66 years old.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. That seems like that seems young to me now. Dying at 66 is dying young anymore.
Oh yeah.
Or should be. I dream of an America where dying at 100 is dying young. Unfortunately, we were on the way to that, but the goons that we're dealing with are taking us backwards.
Yeah, another point of contradiction between between the current regime and the Bible. What was it? Didn't the Bible say something about man's years are supposed to be 125?
Or, well, Methuselah, 900, you know, yeah.
Well, that was back before the flood, wasn't it?
Yeah, Skip a Rope, I was just doing some research here while we were talking, written by Jack Moran and Glenn Douglas Tubb.
Yeah, there's a couple of, great country music names for you.
Yeah, that Tubb name, I presume that to be royalty of sorts.
Possibly related to Ernest. I don't know.
I don't either. My expertise doesn't go that far. We've got people who listen to this program who would have that expertise, and maybe they'll provide the missing links in that chain.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you mentioned him. I got to admit, I'm not familiar with the tune because I was about five when it came out. I'm sorry. But anybody who had the guts to stand out and speak in plain language about that kind of thing deserves to be mourned, and his passing deserves to be noted, because we are the less for it, because it's one less voice we have to deal with the problems that we have going on now that aren't too terribly different from what they were then.
Yeah, and it is rather fitting that he was a protege of Johnny Cash's at one point.
Well,
because Johnny was one of those people who did that as well.
It's very absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a reference here from the New York Times review in 1968 that says he, quote, has one of those deliciously smooth country baritones like Johnny Cash's or Dave Dudley's. So,
yeah. Although Dave Dudley, well, I don't know if I'd put him in the same social category. I'm familiar with a few of his stuff that would make Okie from Muskogee sound almost genteel in comparison.
Or radical, depending on how you put it.
Although
exactly.
At least Phil Oakes once did record Okie from Muskogee, but I don't know exactly how serious he was about it.
But Okie from Muskogee is not it. That wasn't a statement on the part of the artist. That was a reflection of, as I understand it, his father's Muskogee.
At least that's what I have heard from Merle in most recent years.
That wasn't his personal statement of, yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily, yeah. Although
okay.
Although he did follow it up with the fighting side of me, which I suspect was was probably matched up a bit more to his attitude, certainly at the time he came out with it.
The thing with fighting side of me, that's a place you can get with six or seven beers with virtually anybody born south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh yeah.
Of course, I'm overgeneralizing.
Well, there's a few in Wisconsin that can fit that as well.
That's what I mean.
Last time I checked, La Crosse was the town that had the largest per capita percentage of taverns in the entire country.
And it speaks well of La Crosse, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we still have the world's largest six pack up here on 3rd Avenue.
You didn't need to tell me that. Don't taunt me.
it's no longer full of old style because the G. Heilman sold the brewery a few years ago.
What happened to G. Heilman? Okay. Now we're officially into night baseball, inside baseball. What happened to G. Heilman?
I think that was one of those that was bought out by
Stroh's or
in that same. I don't know if it was Stroh's, but it was in that same basic period that like Stroh's was bought out. I think Blatt's was bought out. Pabst Blue Ribbon,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly who has the brand rights for it now, but I know that whenever they run the commercials on the Cubs radio broadcast, they now like at the end of the commercial they used to say G. Heilman Brewing, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and now they say old style beer Chicago, Illinois.
Hmm.
So at least
I remember. I remember sitting in the cheap seats at Royal Stadium in Kansas City as a young man, drinking old style. So it went as far south as KC.
Oh yeah, G. Heilman was a fairly big big.
Well, at one point in time, they even controlled Lone Star. I know that much to be a fact.
Right.
It's another one of those things about Americana that you kind of mourn, because every time that one company buys up another, that means there's a little bit less originality in that particular industry. And Prohibition did brewing in, and then what was able to survive and come back out of Prohibition, we went from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of local and regional beers to just a small handful, relatively speaking, and it's shrunken considerably since then, until now you've got Anheuser-Busch and Coors that are American-owned, and Miller Miller, for God's sakes, that's owned by South Africa.
And last time I checked, Miller was the last of the original batch of Milwaukee breweries to still be operating, at least having its main brewery in Milwaukee and its main administrative offices for the United States.
Well, we are diminished.
And I grew up in part in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Have been able to live to survive, to tell about it. After all, only about 15, 20 miles away from the gravesite of Joe McCarthy, that should tell you something right there.
Well, exactly. Oshkosh, begosh.
And but I used to have a map that a municipal map of Oshkosh that I bought at an antique store that had somebody had constructed markings on it showing where each individual neighborhood brewery was in Oshkosh in the late 19th century and early 20th century. There would be neighborhood breweries,
right,
as opposed to the larger commercial things that he have.
Well, in the UK, I assume that it's still going, but in 10 years or so ago, there was something called CAMRA, and that was the Campaign for Real Ale. The kind of stuff that used to get brewed down in the basement of the local pub and would be pumped at, tapped and pumped at cellar temperature. And that was, in a way, the resurgence of so-called microbrews was an outgrowth of that. Of course, my gripe with microbrews in the U.S., and boy, if we run far afield, Dave, is everybody seems to think that if you don't put enough hops in your microbrew to turn the beer drinker's mouth inside out, you haven't achieved your goal. And I don't buy into that. I mean, I know what an IPA is, an India Pale Ale. I know why it's real hoppy, but it's not all supposed to be that way.
Yeah, there is a reason why Guinness has a black can to it. Yeah, when you take your first taste of a Guinness.
Yeah. Well, Lottie in the chat room and I talk from time to time. He turned me on to something wonderful, and that is a glass of half Guinness and half hard cider. And it's you want to talk about something wonderful. It's like an apple pie.
Okay.
Because you get the roasty toasty that's like the crust, and then you get the apple, and all just blends together, and wow, just wonderful, wonderful stuff. But no, we're talking about something here, I think, Dave, that sort of transcends, a couple of old beer drinkers. Well, I tell you, I remember
an element of popular culture that we don't have anymore.
It's been taken from us. The devotion of a Cubs fan sitting in the cheap seats to an ice cold G. Heilman, old style. Don't fool with that.
Yeah.
Even
though Harry Carey eventually did make Budweiser ads, but that's a different matter.
Well, I forget who it was that used to be the Reds play-by-play guy, and he quit his job when they changed beer sponsors. Because he'd only been saying, and now it's time for an ice cold whatever. for 25 years. And he said, I might as well quit because you guys are going to fire me when I say that again. And now we're sponsored by, you know, Budweiser.
Or whatever it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand it. But when we lose that kind of thing, whether it's a regional brewery or a local brewery or, the soda pops that proliferated around the country, or the grain mills,
or for that matter, going into other forms of food, bakeries. Sure. How many bakeries do you still see in America compared to what would be in every town 30 or 40 years ago?
Yeah, those guys that come into work at 11 o'clock and leave at 8 in the morning. And you walk into the bakery and the place is just it's a perfume factory.
And you can smell that two blocks up the street.
Exactly. There was a restaurant over in Westport in Kansas City one time that how restaurants, bars will bring you a little basket of bread. They brought you bread in clay flower pots that they raised and baked in those clay pots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just heavenly. And you could find that joint with your eyes closed, just following your nose. My dad, bless him, talked about when he first moved to Alabama, Knowles Bakery on Northwood Avenue in Florence, and how he would stop in there when he was on his way home from work, and pick up fried pies or bread or something and take it just to sit, and that's gone. And what you get instead is I hate to even mention their name, but you walk into Walmart, oh, we've got a bakery. Well, I know where the bread came from. It came from your freezer. Before it was in the freezer, it was in a freezer truck.
That's right.
And it's institutionalized, and we that's how we lose our soul.
And I guess the only thing I can actually add to this is actually the quote, and I want to make sure I think it was Randy Credico who had this line. And if somebody is able to correct me if I'm wrong, I'd appreciate it, because I want the person to get the credit for this that have it coming. But in his act, he says, don't buy Coors, buy Beck's and send the money directly to Germany.
Oh, that's wicked. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Dave, what's up? What's up with the page over at Unreported News?
This next week. This week. In fact, I haven't checked. I'm going to have to. I know I uploaded it to the site. I assume that that Sarge has switched things over and now has the Beyond Vietnam Martin Luther King Jr. speech program up there. Next week is going to be the I've Been to the Mountaintop speech, which he gave the night before his assassination, and the two Robert Kennedy addresses in direct response to the assassination, one of them coming within a half an hour of the announcement of the assassination.
Yeah, that's the speech in what, Indianapolis?
The one in Indianapolis where he's breaking the news to the audience that has come to hear him deliver a stump speech. And there is no more heartbreaking noise ever recorded than the reaction of that audience to that news. I think we were talking about this last week.
Yeah, we did. Go by all means, everyone, go over and have a look. And see what's the Beyond Vietnam speech. Like I said when we were talking last week, Dave.
Yeah.
There was no more profound utterance on the part of Martin Luther King Jr. than that speech, because it was a manifestation. Like I said last week, it turns out to be something bordering on prophecy.
Yeah, and timelessness. Yeah. That you can apply it to any of these wars that America seems to have gotten in. Yeah, how many are we talking about? You know, between Vietnam and Iraq.
Well, what's really the scaring the bejesus out of me is this question of what comes next. I mean, we've got over 100 ships operating in the Persian Gulf right now in war games that are aimed directly at the Iranians, and the Iranians have their own war games going on. Is it just me, or do you get the idea that there are people out there that would just be happier than pigs in slop if an incident were to go down?
I would be very surprised if they're not trying to figure out how to take this situation with the British Navy individuals that the Iranians had taken custody of into one of those kind of deals.
It wouldn't see. I thought that all along because, again, as I've noted, if you consider for a moment that what the Bush administration most wants is to be able to make war on Iran without having to seek congressional approval,
yeah,
then it becomes clear that something. Well, I mean, you've got today you've got the words of Tony Blair saying, you know, release our sailors or this will go to another level,
quote unquote. Yeah.
And another level or another phase or something, you know, that's, you know, that means, you know, I'll get a war started and George will finish it or try, which actually means George will screw it up beyond all recognition.
And, you know, and as he has done already, yeah.
So, you know, there's plenty good reason to be plenty good nervous about, you know, what's going on here. Without really feeling terribly paranoid about anything at all.
Although the head people in Iran don't seem to be the greatest guys in the world either. But
don't get me wrong. Religiously insane people are religiously insane people the world over.
And not just religiously, but socially insane.
Well, there's that too.
Because one other program that in the Echo series that I have ready to go up next month contains recordings actually made in the Belsen concentration camp as it was being liberated.
Oh wow!
It was a broadcast that was made by the BBC in May of 1945. Once they got their correspondent back and all the recordings, correctly edited together for the broadcast,
mm-hmm.
and listening to this thing, even though it is the copy I have is of a shortwave air check, so the sound quality is not the greatest, but still, it's the quality that people who were listening at the time were hearing if they tuned in, and listening to some of these things to children that had been in the camp singing.
Ugh.
You know, it's one of those things, and I think there was also a pianist and a violinist who did their best to perform for the BBC recording team there. When you hear these things that actually put you there, and within the context of what the reporter is mentioning is going on all around him as these recordings are being made, I don't think that there is anybody, regardless of your social perspective, who cannot be moved.
Except for those who just don't, you know, well, that just didn't happen.
Well,
I can't fathom those people.
Yeah, although although I would say, you know, most of them would be moved, but then immediately would try to weasel their way out of the emotion.
Well, it is it's emotionally dishonest, Dave, is what it boils down to.
Oh, sure.
Well, Dave, so good to talk to you. Everybody run over and have a look at your page over there at unreportednews.net. If you haven't heard the Beyond Vietnam segment, you simply must. This is worth noting, worth remembering, and worth sort of recommitting to the present. And we'll follow up whenever the change comes down to the next round. Thanks so much, Dave.
Likewise.
You have a great evening.
I'll do my best to get out of it alive.
every day above the ground's a good one.
All right.
Bye. Later. Bye. Our buddy King David McKenzie up in Wisconsin. You know, we did kind of go off, you know, okay, so it was beers. You know, it could have been little mom and pop restaurants. That's an America that's fading fast. That's why I will do everything in my power to go somewhere where people are doing the restaurant business for the love of it and for themselves as opposed to some corporate overlord. Because you know what? Applebee's in Beckley tastes like Applebee's in Alabama, tastes like Applebee's in Kansas, tastes like Applebee's in Pennsylvania. It may be good, but there's just nothing unique about it, and there's certainly no sense that love and devotion went into the making of the food. And to the same, by the same token, the Mondo Brewery, same thing. What made us unique as a people was, in fact, it seems sort of dichotomous in a way, but the idea that you could go from one part of the country to another part of the country and experience a completely different cultural surrounding. And that it was valuable, and it was to be cherished, and there was something special about it. You know, a New England boiled dinner, as opposed to fried chicken on the ground at the Sunday go-to meeting in somewhere in Tennessee, or I don't know. Garrison Keillor loves to talk about lutefisk. I'm brave. I don't know if I'm that brave. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. You want to get involved in the conversation? You know how it works. 877-443-2366. 877-4 head on. It gets you right in the door. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Skip a rope. Skip a rope. All listen to the children while they play. Now ain't kind of funny what the children say. Skip a rope. Daddy hates mama, mama hates dad. Last night you should have heard the fight they had. Gave little sister another bad dream. She woke us all up with a terrible scream. Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now ain't kind of funny what the children say. Skip a rope. Cheat on your taxes, don't be a fool. What was ever said about a golden rule? Well, never mind the rule, just play to win. And hate your neighbor for the shade of his skin. Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope. Stab 'em in the back, that's the name of the game. Mom and Daddy are who's to blame? Skip a rope. Skip a rope. Just listen to your children while they play. It's really not very funny what your children say. Skip a rope, skip a rope, skip a rope, skip a rope.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. This is how wars often start, with little provocations that escalate out of control. When Tehran seized 15 British sailors on Friday for allegedly being in Iranian waters, George Bush and Dick Cheney must have let out a cheer. This is just the kind of thing they've been praying for. Now Bush and Cheney may have their own little Gulf of Tonkin incident. And Blair, too, who just announced that he was prepared to move into a different phase if negotiations didn't succeed in freeing the sailors. He didn't quite say what that different phase was. To hype the tension, Bush has sent the U.S. Navy on maneuvers in the Persian Gulf, right off the coast of Iran. This is no ordinary exercise. There are 2 aircraft carriers, 15 warships, including guided missile destroyers, more than 100 planes, and 10,000 U.S. military personnel making simulated attacks on enemy aircraft and shipping. It's for regional stability and security, said U.S. Navy Commander Kevin Andal. I kind of doubt that. What it's really for is to intimidate Iran, or better yet, from Bush's perspective, to provoke Iran into a reckless act. Then Bush could go to Congress, or bypass Congress, which is his want, and go to the American people and say, Iran's attacked us, so we're, as we speak, bombing Tehran. It's a speech I'm sure Bush has been rehearsing. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm trying to be less polite. I'm saying what I really think. The president's a fool. I don't want to get up early, and I wish I had a good stiff drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade. I want to stop the war because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave.
Welcome back. Based on the conversation that we just had with, and by that, by when I say we, I mean you, me, all of us, not me as in, you know, we are the Queen of England or anything. No, the conversation we just had with our good buddy King David McKenzie up in Wisconsin, I thought it'd be a nice little bookend to let you actually hear Skip a Rope and let me hear Skip a Rope. And yeah, I had heard it. It just, too far deep on the hard drive for me to get at it in my own brain. It was nice to hear, and I appreciate our good friend Billy Shears for sending it along. And then the other side of the book ends, someone doing something very similar in the current climate, and that is our buddy Will Kimbrough, fellow native Alabamian, also living away from there. As you know, that's what happens. You got to get away in order to let things blossom and grow. Let's go to the phones. It's about a quarter before the hour, and like I said, with Agnes not producing this evening, I have no idea who I've got, so I'll just have to ask. Hi, who have I got?
Kevin from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Good to hear from you. Nice to talk to you.
Oh, fine, thanks. You know, I saw something rather special today, which really renews my faith. You know, this probably has nothing to do. I just walked in. But on the way home, you know, I walk from where I work to get to the Union Station. I got to cut through Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I saw today?
What's that?
My former senator, Chuck Schumer, just sitting on the step having a sandwich and a drink. You know, and the thing is, it just seemed like he was a regular guy just doing
it. That is kind of inspiring.
And, you know, he's from Brooklyn like I am originally, you know, the borough of Kings, where no one wears a crown. But, you know, just to think, how many Republicans you know would just do that?
I can't name you one, Kevin.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like they come off with this down-hole, aw-shucks kind of mentality. But I am almost willing to bet every penny that I have that I would never see a Republican do that. In this day and age,
probably not, because they're hypocrites for starters. You know, it's like whether it be Ann Coulter or Rush Limbaugh or Laura Ingraham or God knows Michael Savage, any of the yammerheads, and most of the elites, the Republican elite in Congress, they talk about how, you know, it's about the family values. But in fact, they have no interest in it. They want nothing to do with us, whom they deem to be the great unwashed.
Yeah, and you know, it's well, to me, Ann Coulter is the biggest. I don't even want to say it on the radio because I want to keep you on the air.
No. Don't worry about it. I mean, this is the internet. We're not afraid of the FCC.
Yeah, well, the biggest. Well, I'm a gentleman.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay, I will not lower myself for her.
Good.
Okay, but she talks about, you know, the Northeastern elite and, you know, the East Coast elite, but where does she live? She lives in New York and Palm Beach.
Right. You know,
she's not living in Montana with the Unabomber.
Exactly. You know, I at one point in time when Rush was busted with his little bottle of illegal Viagra, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was over at the Smoking Gun, and they had the court documents, and it showed his address. So, you know, I love my Google Earth program.
Oh, yeah.
So I type in Rush's address just to see the homey little cabin that he lives in down in Palm Beach.
Yeah. Well, Palm Beach is not the bastion of conservative Republicanism. It's a very, you know, elitist liberal. It's like a New York enclave in southern, well, all of southern Florida is a New York enclave. We call it the sixth borough because everybody there is from New York.
reminds me of Seinfeld and Del Boca Vista.
Yeah, you know, everybody there is from New York. Most of my relatives have a house in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Well, I looked on Google Earth and looked up his address, and you know what? This was this massive, massive gated walled compound.
Well, like Tom Hartman said today, you know, a lot of these people are paranoid and they're fearful. They always think somebody's out to get them. And probably right, because, you know what, when you screw with people's lives, when you deny people their civil rights and their economic rights and God knows whatever right, the right to reproduce and the right to sleep, people are going to be out to get you. You know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon, you know, to figure these things out.
Well, exactly, and it's not like these people are necessarily insane.
You know, well,
because
they're sociopaths.
No. I'm talking about the people that folks like Flimball and that gang anger.
Yeah.
You know, what am I supposed to think if I'm Muslim and Michael the Savage Wiener is now see, there's the dark side of coming from Brooklyn, by the way.
Yeah.
The Savage Wiener's on the air arguing that I need to be killed.
Oh yeah, well you know what? I'm gonna start thinking maybe I should kill you before you kill me. You know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure these things out. You know, but and this is part of the reason why you know Republicans hold on to that all-oppressive electoral vote, because if there was no electoral vote, yeah, we may have a few Republican congressmen and senators, but there would never be a Republican president, because probably with the exception of Eisenhower, they were all a-holes. You know, come on, they couldn't get elected dog catcher.
Well, that's a lesson that's worth remembering and worth repeating, Kevin, because there is never a Republican president elected in this country who is not elected without a whole bunch of what would otherwise be deemed Democratic votes.
Yeah.
And that you know, that's Nixon, that's Reagan, that's Bush 1.
And Bush 2.
Yeah.
Definitely Bush 2.
Well, that and some monkey business with the nasty little machines.
Well, but it was based purely on the popular vote. I think outside of Eisenhower, and I don't know my history because Reagan got in when I was only a kid. I think Reagan did get the popular vote in the first term.
He did, but it was all done. It was a function of sleaze, Kevin. It was the October surprise. It was okay. The fact that the Reagan campaign negotiated directly with the Iranians, promised them weapons, promised them their heart's desire, as long as they would agree to keep our hostages in bondage and not let Jimmy Carter negotiate their release.
And sure enough, they kept their promise, hence Iran-Contra scandal.
Precisely.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, Kevin, so good to hear from you. I hope you'll call again.
Yeah, I most definitely will. Say hi to Agnes for me.
I sure will. You take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Kevin from D.C., and let's see who we've got here. Hi, who have I got?
You've got South of Strange in Alabama.
Oh, my goodness, South of Strange. Yes, I'm a dedicated reader of your blog.
Thank you.
What's happening?
Oh, well, let's see. Spring has sprung and gone straight into summer. It's been 87 degrees today in Alabama, and I'm starting to wonder whatever happened to our weather, whether we're going to wind up with polar bears floating by on ice floes any second now.
Working the barges going down the Tennessee.
That's right. It'll be the only thing left for them. There won't be anything up there for them in the Arctic Circle. They'll have to migrate down here.
Well, yeah, and you know, it was pretty warm here today, too, and this is March.
Yeah.
You know, I know the whole in like a lion, out like a lamb thing, and if I recall, I was in Alabama on March 1st, and it definitely came in like a lion, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is how it's supposed to be in late May or June.
Yeah, what's August going to be?
Oh, I have a prediction for you. It's going to be easily in the upper 90s, 100 degrees this summer for an extended period of time. They're going to be talking about a heat wave, but what it's going to be is like a big heat blot on the southeast. It's going to be awful.
And the air conditioners will go at 110%, and we'll probably have to blow up 50 extra mountains here in West Virginia just to supply the demand.
Yeah, probably. Of course, we have nuclear power down here, and we got the dam, so we're okay. you'll just have to burn coal up there for your air conditioning.
No. You've never seen that big plume of smoke blowing off the Colbert steam plant?
Oh, yeah, but see, you know where they get that coal that they burn there. They get it from down in South Alabama, where you got all those non-union mines.
Oh, my God.
How do you think they get production out of there, man? Non-union.
But, you know, it was kind of heartening to me as I read the news down there. A bunch of union jobs, at least tentatively, coming into that the paper plant out near Cherokee?
Yeah, the paper plant down there is actually a European company, FCA. I think they're from Norway or somewhere like that. One of your listeners could probably check that out on Google. But, of course, they're European, and when, you know, the locals got the jobs there as the plant opened. They
said, United Steelworkers, if I'm not mistaken.
They said, we were thinking about a union, and the owners just sort of shrugged their shoulders because I guess they're used to it, seeing as they're from Europe. I mean, you have to have a union over there.
Well, and it's good for business over there because it means you're treating your workers right. It means that your workers have a decent living, which means you're in turn that you keep your workforce. It means that your workers show up on time, and it means you get your product out.
And plus, it also means that your workers are safer. I mean, look, again, the non-union mines. You know, you have such a higher rate of accidents in mines that are non-union. And I know people who work down at that plant, and they make better wages at the SCA tissue plant than they do at any of these other blue-collar jobs that are still left in northwest Alabama. There aren't many of them, but they make far better wages there.
And when
they're
comfortably,
and they're safe.
Yeah, and when the kid gets sick, they take the kid to the doctor because they got health care. And, you know, they plan on staying with the company till retirement. And when they retire, they've got a retirement. They've got a reasonable shot at a decent golden years, so to speak.
Yeah, they have a decent shot at a middle-class lifestyle and a good life. And, yeah, I guess it's sad commentary on the way things are that you have to go to a foreign company coming to the United States to get that kind of job anymore. I mean, look. Who's building auto plants in Alabama down here? We got Honda, Mercedes, Hyundai. All these companies are coming down here. Ford and GM aren't coming here. They've been sending jobs over to China for as long as they could.
Well, I remember, and I'm sure you do too, once upon a time when there was a Ford plant not too awfully far from where you're now sitting.
Oh, no. That plant's been gone for 20 years, but I remember it. I remember people working there and talking about it when it closed and how sad that was.
Yeah, there's a big empty space where the furnace used to sit that basically paid for my upbringing and around which my father worked for something near to 30 years. Now your blog is there at myspace.com/southofstrange, right?
Yes, it is.
Folks can subscribe to that blog, and I got to tell you, I get my little updates every day, and I go and read, and it's a joy to see. I mean, you're a damn fine writer. The short fiction piece. I was going to try to read that on the air, and I don't think I got around to it. It's the Babylon piece.
Yeah.
Was just brilliant because you know you've got a military background.
Yes, I do.
So you know of whence you speak. You've been over in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a real sense for what's going on over there. We're kind of at the top of the hour. Would you care if we extended this into a little something after the news?
Sure.
Because I'd like for folks to hear a born and bred Southerner like myself, who, unlike myself, has military experience, talk just a little bit about what's going on with the folks who we're sending over there. Who are coming back shattered and broken and being sent back shattered and broken.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And what it means to our military. Can we do that?
Sure.
All right. Well,
absolutely.
Stand by, and after the news, we'll come right back, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Okay. You know, doing multiple buttons at the same time is a little bit confusing, but we'll get through it. If you want to, we've got a couple of lines open. If you want to jump in and have at it, 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Can't get any easier than that, can it? I don't think so. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network.
The Senate has voted to keep the pullout timetable as part of its Iraq war spending bill. The Democratic-controlled Senate voted mostly along party lines in support of withdrawing U.S. combat troops from Iraq by next March. It's the strongest challenge yet to the administration's handling of the war. The bill will provide administration-requested funding for the war, but the White House has insisted the president will veto any bill containing a withdrawal timetable. Today, the U.S. Navy launched its largest demonstration of military might in the Persian Gulf since the invasion of Iraq. The war games will be conducted off the coast of Iran. The Iranian Navy is also conducting training maneuvers in the area. It began its war games last week. Iran says the 15 British troops arrested Friday at the mouth of the Persian Gulf are now being questioned to determine whether they were spying. Britain says the sailors and Marines were on a routine anti-smuggling assignment. In June 2004, 8 British military personnel were seized by Iran in the same disputed waters. Those were released unharmed 3 days later. The FBI director, Robert Mueller, appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today to convince lawmakers that the FBI is conducting its pursuit of terrorists properly. A recent report by the Justice Department inspector found abuses in how the FBI gathers information on Americans and foreigners. A U.S. district judge today threw out a lawsuit against former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, alleging torture in overseas military prisons. The case was brought on behalf of 9 former prisoners held in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Judge Hogan said that Rumsfeld cannot be held personally responsible for actions made in connection with his government position. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says Israeli and Palestinian leaders have agreed to begin meeting every 2 weeks for talks that may lead to discussions of a Palestinian state. U.S. and U.N. leaders have been visiting the region in the last 3 days, pushing hard for the official peace talks. And Defense Department contractor ITT Corps will pay a $100 million penalty for illegally sending classified night vision technology to foreign countries, including China. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News, next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
An Australian environmental group dedicated to ridding the country of poisonous toads has captured one of the largest cane toads ever seen. The creature's 2-pound body is the size of a football. Cane toads are not indigenous to Australia and are deadly to the native animals and reptiles of the country. A 24-year study reveals taking aspirin may help women live longer. Low to moderate doses of the drug are particularly helpful for older women predisposed to heart disease. A laboratory study using rats indicates the antioxidants found in blueberries and grapes may help prevent colon cancer. A separate study on humans aims to discover whether blueberries help prevent cancer of the esophagus. And the leading website for the nation's veterinarians has reported the deaths of 104 cats and dogs from pet food tainted with rat poison. That's far more than reported by the FDA. And the Consumer Confidence Index fell 4 points this month, showing consumers are spending less, and that's bad news for retailers. Experts say the lower-than-expected numbers indicate general concern over the recent volatility in the financial markets and concerns over the future job market outlook. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.93 a barrel. The close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 72 points, the NASDAQ down 18 points, and the S&P down 8 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeedy. And we roll into this third hour, continuing a conversation that began before the news. First time call from our buddy South of Strange, down in beautiful Northwest Alabama. Wrong slide there. Yeah, okay. I just haven't done this in a while. You got to bear with me. And back to the phones we go. Are you there?
I'm here.
Too many buttons.
Too many buttons. Too many buttons. Yeah, yeah, complicated electronic equipment. You know, the older you get, the less able you are to use it.
That's true, and I'm living proof of the validity of the acronym PEBCAC.
PEBCAC?
PEBCAC. You're a military type. You should be into acronyms. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into acronyms, but I don't think I've heard that one.
Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that one. I'm going to write that one down over here.
PEBCAC, PEBCAC.
Well, I'm 35, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I had to hand my cell phone over to my 13-year-old daughter the other day to get her to show me how to do something with it.
Next thing you know, you'll be cussing the blinking light on the VCR, dude.
Oh, we're beyond VCRs. It'll be something else. It'll be something else next year.
I'm just, you know, I was so tickled with myself all of our kids have MP3 players now, and I was proud of myself for being able to load music onto them, but then I realized I was completely stymied in trying to get music off of them.
Yeah, they don't make it easy.
No, it's like you've got to wipe the whole thing just to get rid of one bad song.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's how they get you. So you had a question for me?
Yeah, I did. Your background, and we should, you know, you and I have chatted not on the air, so, and I've read your blog, so I know a little bit about your background. But you're a veteran. You are from the military. You spent time in Saudi Arabia, or Kuwait, I guess.
Kuwait.
Can you talk a little bit about, because it seems like the information we get out of the military is so stifled and so stymied.
It's deliberate.
Can you talk a little bit about what you're hearing, what folks are saying, what it's like on the ground?
Well, I can tell you this. I've talked to a lot of veterans who've come back from there, especially in the National Guard and Reserves, and most of them are coming back with stories about the violence and how it eventually touches you. You cannot be completely remote from it. I mean, the 115th Signal Battalion from right here was based around Mosul, which was at the time one of the quietest sectors in Iraq. And still, you know, they had to deal with occasional incoming mortar rounds. You had convoys that IEDs along the road. Everybody's having to be extra super careful. And actually, I got to tell you something that's sort of funny to me is, If you've ever seen the National Training Center, you may know about this. This is where you go out in the sandbox in California and in the Mojave Desert and you play laser tag,
mm-hmm.
like a pretend war, all very advanced technology and so forth. And it's really where soldiers practice at quote-unquote real war. And I remember that there were these endangered turtles out there on that reservation, and soldiers used to bitch and moan all the time about how you had to watch out for these turtles, because if you ran one over, it became an incident with a capital I. And, you know, you had to be constantly on the lookout, and especially at night when you're driving with your night vision goggles on and the lights blacked out and everything, and you're cruising along at 5 miles an hour, you had to be very careful you didn't run over one of these turtles. And gosh darn it, why do we have to be careful about the turtles? Can't we just, you know, not worry about the Endangered Species Act here? And what struck me was some of the people who had complained loudest about that during our last NTC rotation said that was good training for IEDs. You know, having to watch out for turtles on the road, on the little cow paths and stuff that you're following, was good training for watching out for those IEDs. You know, that really struck me as kind of funny. And I can tell you this much, when we were over there in Kuwait, it was just blowing sand the whole time. I was there during the summer. The time of year that the Iraqis have all their leave and don't do any exercises and never leave the barracks, and the Kuwaitis never leave the barracks at that time of year either. It's sort of the off season for them, and they thought that we were just nuts to be out there in the sandbox playing around. And I can tell you that this is a hard time of year as the weather goes from that little bit of wet to dry, that these people are soldiers, our young men and women are over there dealing with this fine grit, like a mist of grit that gets into everything and drives you absolutely bonkers. I left Kuwait and I was still coming out of my ears and my nose, and those were just nasty, nasty days. So it's the petty thing and it's the big thing, that someone's trying to kill you and you're uncomfortable and you've been eating bad food and you haven't been getting enough exercise, because let's face it, how often are you going to do PT in those kind of conditions?
It can be hazardous to your health.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So those are the challenges that they're facing, and especially, you know, when we're talking, you hear this stuff about troop rotations and how holding people over and holding units over there is impacting readiness, and this is why it impacts readiness, is because a soldier comes back from the desert, and by the time he has cleaned up, taken some time off, gotten back in shape, touched up his skills, it's time to go back. He might not have completely gotten over his last two rotations, and now he's being required to go back. You can just imagine the kind of impact that has on a soldier. You can imagine how much impact that has on the unit, on their equipment, and that's what's going on.
And what you're describing are largely physical manifestations of those problems. We haven't even touched on the emotional or the mental aspects.
Oh, no. And see, I haven't seen combat, so I can't really tell you firsthand what that's like, but... Yeah, I will admit my shortcomings here, but I just can't imagine what it's like for some young person who's had to kill for the very first time. You know, killing's not easy. This is a real misconception people have about the military. Killing is not easy. You know, there was a gentleman by the name of S.L.A. Marshall in World War II who was tasked to go around in the Pacific and follow the troops and talk to them after combat and find out sort of lessons learned, what had gone on. And one of the amazing things that he found was that during World War II, only about 15% of American riflemen were actually shooting their weapons in combat. And after thorough research, he came to the conclusion that the Army simply wasn't doing a good enough job of teaching them to kill. So this is why during the 1950s, the U.S. Army changed all of its training. They got rid of that little bullseye paper target at the end of the field and replaced it with a silhouette of a person that pops up here and over here and over here, and you have to shoot these silhouettes. And it was, you know, sort of like a video game, very much like a video game, and it was to train people to kill on command. And by Vietnam, the rate of fire in rifle companies was about 90%. It was six times higher. So you can see how the Army has had to change its training to get people to do something that does not come naturally. So you can imagine a kid who's had to do it and what that's like and what that does to his mind. And after, you know, watching his friends get blown up, even if he doesn't have to kill somebody, if he sees somebody killed, that's got a psychological impact. You read about these shell-shocked kids in the inner city who've seen their brother die and their cousin die and their best friend die, and you just have to wonder, you know, do we not understand the connection? You put an 18-year-old kid through this, and you're not going to have an 18-year-old kid when he comes out on the other side. And this is the reason why all the veterans who've actually seen combat are always grayer than they should be. I mean, Army service, 20 years of Army service will age you 40 years. I've seen it time and time again.
Is that part of why you decided not to stick with it?
Well, there are a couple reasons I decided not to stick with it, and one of them was that I had a lower back injury from my time on active duty, and that was starting to really act up and aggravate me. And now it's bad enough that, you know, I'm turning back to the VA system, and that's a real ugly situation right there, because, of course, the VA system is overloaded already right now, and, you know, I go low on the priority list because my injury is not a combat injury. So, you know, this is the problem that veterans are facing who have come out of the military in the last 10 years, you know, during peacetime. They don't have combat injuries, but they have medical problems that come from that very hard lifestyle of jumping out of airplanes and things like that. And, you know, they are finding themselves waiting longer and longer. The last person that I talked to who was in the VA system was complaining to me that he had to wait 8 months to get a reply to a letter because they've cut back on the number of human beings who are processing cases. You know, at the same time, we're bringing all these kids back with all these problems. We're cutting back the number of people who actually deal with the paperwork, and that's just insane.
Well, when we talk about things like defunding the war, I had a conversation last night with my congressman on this show, and one of the things I pointed out in our discussion was that the media have done a very poor job, or maybe a deliberately bad job, I'm not sure which, and I'd go back and forth, frankly, of making it sound as though defunding the war and bringing our troops home somehow means that they're going to be wandering around lost outside the green zone with no bullets in their guns and targets on their back.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But you talk about the money that's not going into the VA, the care that's not being given to the soldiers returning home. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's because we're throwing it down a rat hole.
Yeah, because we are having to cut corners here and there to try and hide the impact of this war on the budget. I mean, the cost in blood has been bad, not nearly as bad as it could have been. But the cost in treasure is just tremendous. And you know, of course, where we're borrowing the money from. You've heard we're borrowing all this money from China.
Sure.
So,
and
they talked to the Chinese for it.
Yeah, they sneezed 2 weeks ago and the Dow went down 450 points.
Ouch. Ouch.
And the thing is, if they get, you know, that was a sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
If they get a full-on cold or, God forbid, the economic flu, we're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about the world is flat and all this sort of nonsense. But yeah, to some degree it is true. Certainly it is in the market in terms of money that flows freely across borders. And when the money supply flowing across borders has a little hiccup, boy, we all feel it, don't we?
We sure do. And we feel it all across the country. It's not anything that's localized. Although what happens to the people coming back from... And that's one of the things that bothers me most is that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, the absolute necessity of obeying an order as given in the military is what the military is grounded upon.
Yes.
And as such, you've got people who, you know, will go and do when they are, you know, it's like something out of Tennyson. Ours was not to question why, ours was but to do and die.
Well, of course.
And you take that and you use it cynically. How can you expect any good to come of it?
That's absolutely true. You know, an army is a breakable thing. And we are right now breaking this army. It's easy to break an army because really what war is chaos. I mean, things are exploding. You have equipment, and equipment always wants to malfunction because every single part of it is built by the lowest bidder. It's always a situation in combat that you have complete chaos, and the difference between an army that succeeds and an army that dies is whether you can maintain order within that chaos. And I worry right now for the state of our military and its readiness. But the army is the most important branch of the military. I mean, yes, everyone who serves is important, and all four branches are important, but ultimately it's the boys in blue who have to be the boots on the ground, as they say. You've got to have the boots on the ground, otherwise you haven't won a victory. And this is a situation where you can't have a victory.
Now, wait, stop, because I'm sure that something like that would be taken as either outright heresy or just...
Oh, sure.
Just disbelief from a right winger. But you just said something that I've been saying for a while, and this is our first conversation on the air. We are in a war where there cannot be a victory.
No, now, it's, absolutely not.
I get that. You get that. Everybody listening to this program gets that. What the hell's so hard to understand? Why can't a Republican get that? Why can't? I mean, I'm looking. I got quotes here, and I'm not trying to talk on your nickel or anything, but I got quotes here from the debate in the Senate today. All right. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Oh, doggone it! Just one second, because this. It's one of those, I hate journalism moments for me.
Yeah.
And
I've had a lot of those lately.
What I've seen is these comments from the Senate today. All right. The Senate today moved forward with language in their so-called emergency appropriations bill that still has a date certain for a pullout in it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And in this article, what I see is, but Republicans and Senator Joseph Lieberman, an independent Democrat, first of all,
right.
Calling Joe Lieberman an independent Democrat just makes dinner want to come up for a repeat performance. He's not a Democrat, okay? Quit calling him that.
An independent Democrat is actually a Republican.
Well,
what they don't tell you.
Right. But there's a quote here from Senator John Kyle. Saying that this is just all wrong. This is giving the here it is. This is from the White House. This and other provisions would place freedom and democracy in Iraq at grave risk, embolden our enemies, and undercut the administration's plan to develop the Iraqi economy. Is there anybody that still believes that?
You know, the biggest damage that has happened to the Iraqi economy was sending a bunch of ice cream truck drivers over there to rebuild their economy. I mean, geez, have you read the fiasco or State of Denial? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing how it's atrocious how badly this occupation has been screwed up.
Well, the idea that we're going to fix anything, we broke it.
Yes, we absolutely broke it, and we broke it well and good, and then we ground it into the dirt as hard as we could with our boot, thinking the whole while that we were doing them a favor, and now we're amazed that, they're blowing us up and that they don't want us there.
Well, a few miles to the west of you, several thousand people sent a goon named Thad Cochran to the Senate from Mississippi, and he trotted out that tired old thing. He says that we're broadcasting the nation's war plans to the enemy and to the and tying the hands of our military commanders. Maybe you feel the same way I do. Would it be too much to ask Senator Thad to tell us who the daggum enemy is?
Yes, exactly. Who is the enemy here? I mean, and by the way, what do you offer as an alternative? We're just going to stay? We're just going to stay? Well, that tells the enemy what we're doing. We're staying and dying and being stupid.
Congratulations, you get to blow more of us to bits.
Yes, and we get to blow more of you to bits. This is what we don't understand. We've killed hundreds of thousands of people over there. And I say we because collectively we all share this responsibility. All of your listeners who are American, I'm sorry, we all share this responsibility. We have to own it. We have allowed this to happen. And it's on us. It's on us. As much as I hate to say that.
Sure it is. And you've got Mitch McConnell out there, the minority leader, who says that since the Democrats can't override Bush's veto, they'll have to give him a bill without what he calls a surrender deadline. I mean, does that just make you want to just go out and throw rocks at windows?
Surrender deadline. Yeah, it's all this cut and run, surrendered. Defeatocrats, it's all bull.
I mean, can these SOBs at least tell me what constitutes winning? I mean, you've just told me it can't be won.
No, it can't.
Who's going to surrender to us?
No, there is no, as the president himself said, there's not going to be a surrender ceremony on the deck of a battleship. Well, guess what? How do you know when you've won? And what it occurs to me is that what we're arguing about here is who declares the peace. Who declares the peace? Not who declares war, but who declares the peace? And the president says, I don't ever want to declare peace on my watch. And the Congress says, we want to declare peace. We want to do it now. And, hey, if we leave Iraq and it falls apart, well, it wasn't peaceful, but at least we are peaceful.
is there a chance that if we leave the Iraqis to their own devices, they can figure it out for themselves? Is it a function, do you think, of our manifest racism that we feel like the only way peace can come to Iraq is if we stuff it down their throats with a bayonet point?
I have to wonder about that myself, but I'm not really sure that it's the racism. I think it's just plain ignorance, period. It's this ignorant idea that we can make people, if we just stick around long enough, if we have the will, our mere presence will make these Iraqis get together and sing Kumbaya.
I ain't buying it.
I ain't buying it either.
Now, I mean, you were posted to Kuwait. I mean, they've got malls, man.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you've got pretty good gross domestic product or per capita income there. And that's one of the secrets of this thing is that, you know, it's absolutely true. As much as I hate to admit it, Thomas Barnett is absolutely right. If you have a country where it's over $3,000 per capita income, you never have a problem with that country. It's part of the global economic system. It's peaceful. It's happy. These are not problem countries. And in Iraq, it's impoverished. The infrastructure's destroyed. I mean, and we made that happen, not just with the war, but with all the sanctions that came before it and the Gulf War as well.
Because before that time, regardless of what you think of Saddam, the fact of the matter remains that there were doctors there. There were business people.
Sure.
There was a real economy. The doctors that were there then are driving cabs and serving as translators now, and their lives are at risk for being collaborators with us.
Yes, and you know it doesn't take much to be a collaborator.
Yeah, wanting to see tomorrow.
Yeah, wanting to see tomorrow. Just cooperating with an American soldier to pull a girl out from under a car or something like that is probably enough to get you shot.
Yeah, well, you know, you, and God knows if you saw her and she wasn't in her beekeeper suit.
That actually depends on what part of Iraq you're in, believe it or not.
Oh, I know it does. I know it does.
It's getting all over now because you have the retrenchment. See, this is the thing people don't understand. We broke Iraq. We broke the state. We broke the Ba'ath Party. So what did the Iraqis do? They turned to the one thing that is a constant in their culture, in their lives, that has always been there. They turned to the mosque.
Yeah, the superstition.
Big shock. Wow. The same thing that's happened in every Muslim country that's ever had anything remotely like this happen to them. They turned to the mosque.
Because if they... To look back at the Kuwaitis we were just talking about, they're in the mall, not the mosque.
Now they're in the mall. Oh, absolutely.
And they're buying Western blue jeans.
Yeah.
And
they're carrying gold-plated cell phones.
Yeah.
And they're driving American vehicles.
And they're but now, you know, the equality for women, it ain't there.
No.
And you go a little further south into Saudi Arabia, and that's one of the reasons they really don't like having us there, is we see the poverty. Saudi Arabia is not Kuwait. Saudi Arabia has a massive the sort of unseen underground of abject, just horrifying ignorance and poverty. They've got something like 6 universities to educate a population of millions.
And you know, most of the universities in Saudi Arabia deal almost exclusively with the Quran. I mean, people go to university. When you say I'm going to university in Saudi Arabia, most young people mean by that, most young men mean by that, that they're going to study the Quran. They're going to become a cleric. You know, there's no real engineering.
And be an expert on figuring out what kind of horse Muhammad flew to the heaven on.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, which is equivalent to, you know, the people who go to theological school in the West to figure out how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then we wonder why they all come here to get their education, why they all want to come to America. This is why so many of them have student visas, and this is how Muhammad Atta and his friends got into this country.
Yeah, because let's remember, Muhammad Atta and his pals were not from that underprivileged underclass of Saudi Arabia.
Certainly not.
That's why I keep harping on the fact It's not that they were Al-Qaeda. It's the fact that they were Saudis. Saudi culture bred Muhammad Atta. Al-Qaeda didn't. This guy was an engineer. I mean, this guy was, he was trained, he was schooled in science. He understood that that molecules do what molecules do, regardless of what the Quran says about the molecules.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can still get behind a jetliner, fly it into a building, and think that he's going to be met by 72 virgins in paradise?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I'm sure they were surprised to find themselves in hell, so...
You
have to believe in hell. You absolutely have to believe in hell for people like that. There's no other way to believe.
Well, I know what you feel. I've got a list of people that I have to believe in hell for.
Well, one of them would be Alberto Gonzalez. Did you see his middle finger today?
Did you catch? I was looking at that. Did you? Is that? I mean, was I seeing that? I mean, he holds
to me like the middle finger.
I saw it at Huffington Post. It's a series of three photographs. He was supposed to do a 15-minute presser on internet safety.
Oh, yes.
It lasts 3 minutes, and he walks away, and I'm sitting here looking at his photo, and he looks like he's flipping the crowd off.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like he's flipping off the reporters. And I would not be surprised to think that. I think that it might be a Freudian slip. His finger might be doing what his brain won't let his finger do. I don't pretend to know what's going on in his head, but it looks like the finger to me, and it might as well be the finger. What is he doing? He's basically giving us the finger.
Well, didn't he give us and the world the finger when he said that anything that didn't cause organ failure and death doesn't constitute torture?
Oh yeah, you got to love that one. That's brilliant.
I mean, isn't it the finger when he sits there and says, you people don't need habeas corpus anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do away with the First Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Second Amendment. Let's just do away with all of them. Why don't we?
Yeah, and meanwhile, I've got a story here today. David Hicks, the Australian in Guantanamo, the former kangaroo skinner, as the news reports all say.
They just love to say that. Sort of like son of a sheep herder with Mr. Obama.
Yeah, it's like straight out of Little Big Man, you know, hire the mule skinner. but the guy pleaded guilty to giving material support to terrorists today. And the story that I read says that they did that as a first step to getting him transferred to a prison in Australia. He pled guilty. The military tribunal gets to kill him now.
Yeah.
With no appeal to Australia or anybody else. Off with his head. You know, it's the Red Queen now.
We're just fooling ourselves. You know, the reason they want to keep it at Guantanamo, the reason why they will not listen to anyone who says, hey, close Guantanamo and bring them to the United States, is because they don't want these guys to fall under any kind of law except their own, the one that they make up, and whatever law they want it to be. You know, they don't want to adhere to any standard. They want to make it up as they go and make up the rules as they go. They really just don't care about anybody's rules but their own.
By this definition, doesn't this mean that they're lawless?
No, sure. Sure. But see, they're making their own realities. They're also making their own law.
Gee whiz. Terrifying. I sure have enjoyed our conversation. I hope this...
I have enjoyed talking to you.
I hope this can happen again soon. And again, MySpace.com, South of Strange. Where did that name come from?
Well, I wrote a book. I wrote a novel, and I'm still in the rewrite mode on it. You know, I have to go through several drafts of a novel before it's ready for publication. And even before you can send out an agent query letter. And so when I got onto MySpace for the very first time, I decided that I was just going to sort of be the book, and so the title of the book is South of Strange, and there's a little bit on offer there on the MySpace profile. And by the way, your listeners should know that you don't have to be on MySpace in order to read a MySpace blog. In fact, you can subscribe to it. User friendly. In the upper right hand corner, there is a little RSS tag. You can click on that, and you can subscribe to a blog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I recommend. I enjoyed the heck out of my reading over there, and I suspect that others will as well. You offer valid perspective and interesting thoughts on a number of topics. And one of the things we try to do here is to promote folks who are out there working at things and really stretching their minds and offering up their thoughts, their efforts, their labors, and this is not to say anything against Daily Kos or anything like that, but that isn't necessarily from the big mainstream stuff, because
That's right.
The truth is out there.
The truth is outsourced.
The truth is outsourced. Exactly.
That's a whole other conversation, my friend.
Yes, it is. Well, I thank you very kindly, and I hope I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon, Bob.
All right, take care.
Take it easy.
All right, stay cool down there in the summer heat in the end of March. All right, later. Our good friend, South of Strange, MySpace.com, South of Strange, a damn fine writer. And as you can tell, a very intelligent individual. Go and read and subscribe. I think you'll be pleased. What he brought up, South of Strange, this three-photograph series of Alberto Gonzalez running away. And it's a story from the Chicago Tribune. He was supposed to have a press conference, as I said, about internet safety at the Dirksen U.S. Courthouse in Chicago. And, of course, the reporters started asking him instead about what else? The little Stalinist purge that he lied to America. You remember what it's like. Lying to America. You remember, Republicans know all about lying to America. All you got to do is ask a Republican about lying to America, and they'll say, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. They'll tell you about lying to America, but they won't mention Alberto Gonzalez standing up and saying, I had no idea. I didn't know nothing about firing no attorneys. Samson, you've got a lot of explaining to do. Okay, this is unfair. I'd catch hell for that. I mean no ill by it. But yeah, Bertie Gonzalez lied to the American people. And we all know it now, because we know that he and five other high-ranking political appointee staffers were in the meeting on November 27th when the whole purge was laid out. And now this series of three photographs. What's his hand doing up above the podium anyway? I mean, I see an index finger. I see a ring finger. They're manifestly the shorter as compared to the middle finger. I don't know. Is that the high sign inside the Bush administration? Because we've all seen George looking at the camera with his middle finger stuck up at America. This dude has got to be on the way out. He has simply got to be on the way out. Oh, and, I do, I wonder sometimes. I have no way of knowing everyone who listens to this program, but sometimes I just have to wonder. This is the lead-in script from a story by Peter Overby over at National People's Radio. Headline, Dems allege interference in phone jamming case. What did I say the other night? Everything that this Justice Department has done since George Bush entered office is now suspect. Questions about political pressure in the Justice Department are spilling over into the New Hampshire phone jamming case. 5 years ago, New Hampshire Republicans jammed the phones of Democratic offices on Election Day, disrupting the Democrats' get-out-the-vote efforts, yada, yada, yada. A member of the Republican National Committee who put together the whole filthy scheme was charged with a felony and convicted, but his federal appeals court overturned the conviction. And just as I said the other night, several Democrats are now alleging that the Justice Department interfered in the case. Perish the thought, huh? Oh, that couldn't possibly happen, could it? Yeah, it could. Oh, and by the way, I did my bad Bill Clinton impression a moment ago, and I fully acknowledge that it's a bad Bill Clinton impression. But is anybody out there besides me enjoying the manifest irony of the fact that the woman who is taking the fifth in front of Congress, Ms. Goodling, is named, come on chat room, before I say it, Ms. Goodling's first name is, come on guys, say it, the special counsel or counsel to Alberto Gonzalez, her first name, Monica. Monica. Yes, Monica. It just makes you feel all fuzzy inside, doesn't it? Wonder how she looks in blue. Well, she's a ripig, so she probably wears red. That's right, Monica. Now, who, just because it's fun to know these things, where do you suppose Monica came from? Now, this isn't like Miss Lewinsky. She's not an eager... Ooh, boy, I almost stepped in it. She's not an eager intern. No, she's a lawyer. You know, with all those legal, ethical duties from the Code of Professional Conduct or cannons or rifles or mortars or something of ethics. Now, she has said, as of yesterday, that she's going to take the fifth rather than talk to lawmakers. And it turns out that she figures prominently in a whole bunch of these emails that have been released in regard to the Stalinist purge of the 8 U.S. attorneys. Where do you suppose Miss Monica came from? How did Miss Monica get to the very heights at the tender age of 33 years old, who, if she went through on 4 years of college and 3 years of law school, would be 8 years past law school at this point. 8 years out of law school, how do you get to be the right-hand critter to the Attorney General of the United States of America? Well, way back, in 1995, Miss Monica graduated from none other than a little college in Grantham, Pennsylvania, called Messiah College. Messiah College, an institution that describes itself as, quote, committed to embracing an evangelical spirit. Yeah, it's one of those colleges where where it's not a principle of mathematics that 2 and 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 equals a miracle that is 4. But she must have done pretty good manifesting that evangelical spirit, because after that, Miss Monica was accepted to Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Pat Robertson's law school, where every applicant gets a free case of Sea of Galilee mud mask. I kid. The mission of Regent University is, quote, to produce Christian leaders who will make a difference, who will change the world. Well, apparently Miss Monica is taking the fifth because maybe she didn't so much change the world as tried to change the facts surrounding the criminality that is the lifeblood and the very air that is breathed inside the Bush Justice Department? What do you think? Likely? So next time you hear Monica Goodling, or you can just think of her as Miss Monica, don't think blue dress. No, no. Think. Well, you know, I make certain promises to Agnes about the language that I won't use on this program. Right? And as our friend David mentioned in the first phone call of the program this evening, Uber freak Jerome Corsi over at World Nut Daily. You know, if they print it, it has to be true. You take this for what it's worth. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and U.S. Attorney Johnny Sutton. You know, when you get to the point where you're a U.S. attorney, and you've got, wouldn't you rather be John Sutton? Johnny Sutton, both already under siege for other matters, are now being accused of failing to prosecute officers of the Texas Youth Commission after a Texas Ranger investigation. The ball club? No, law enforcement. Documented that guards and administrators were, wait for it, you know, there's always either a dead girl or a live boy involved. Administrators were sexually abusing the institution's teenage boy inmates. Among the charges, this is straight off the World Nut Daily the story. Among the charges in the Texas Ranger report were that the administrators would rouse boys. Oh God, come on, Jerome Corsi. Do you have to write, would rouse boys from their sleep for the purpose of conducting all-night sex parties. Yuck. One of the officials named in the report is a person by the name of Ray Brookins. He was a Texas prison guard before being hired at the Youth Commission School. As a prison guard, Brookins had a history of disciplinary and petty criminal records dating back 21 years. He retained his job despite charges of using pornography on the job, including viewing nude photos of men and women on state computers. I just love this spank me, I'm a naughty Republican.com. Damn, it's kinky. Looky there. Looky at that Corporal Matt Sanchez. Hoo-wee, and Jeff Gannon. Golly dang. So last night it was the Texas Baby Selling Act of 2007. Today it's the Texas Youth Commission controversy. An investigation conducted in 2005 by Texas Ranger Brian Brzezinski. The investigation revealed key employees at the West Texas State School in Piute, Texas, were systematically abusing youth inmates in their custody. And by abuse, we mean diddling and other unmentionable words. Now, what did Texas Ranger Brzezinski? He made his findings, he presented them to the Attorney General in Texas, to U.S. Attorney Johnny Sutton, and to the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. All three of them said, thanks, but no thanks. The Lone Star Project and the director, Matt Angle, said this case demonstrates that a partisan political agenda with Karl Rove in an orchestrating role has penetrated the Justice Department and subverted fair-minded administration of the law. Again, I don't know if there's a word. I don't know. This comes from Jerome Corsi, okay? If this guy told me that we breathe air, I'd have to hold my breath to find out. I don't know if there really is a Texas Ranger Brian Brzezinski. I know there's an Alberto Gonzalez. I'll take it on faith, so to speak, that there's a U.S. Attorney Johnny Sutton. And the editorializing starts where Corsi writes, "It's just the latest controversy for Sutton, Gonzalez, and the Bush administration's direction of the Justice Department. Earlier, Sutton's decisions to prosecute two Border Patrol agents and Deputy Sheriff Gil Hernandez were criticized as having been influenced by the intervention of the Mexican government." So here we've got a story about prison guards in Texas raping boys, and Jerome Corsi has to work in because the right wing's all upset about these Border Patrol agents that, I don't know, what did they do? Dust off a couple of illegals? Well, you know, there's a lot of, the right wing's all up in arms about it because, you know, dang, I wish I was down there. I could have shot a couple. I didn't know it was the season was open. Can you use dogs? Can you bait the field? This article goes on, and Texas Youth Commission, as a function of the scandal, Texas Ranger official Brzezinski received a July 28, 2005 letter from Bill Bauman, assistant U.S. attorney in Sutton's office, declining prosecution on the argument that under 18 U.S.C. Section 242, the government would have to demonstrate that the boys subjected to sexual abuse sustained bodily injury. And Assistant U.S. Attorney Bauman wrote, quote, "As you know, our interview of the victims revealed that none sustained bodily injury." Damn. Just let that rattle around inside your skull for a couple of minutes. The vision of the federal criminal civil rights statute, I'm assuming... this is a civil right not to get raped while you're a little boy in a correctional facility. Yeah, that's a civil right, not getting raped. They didn't receive a bodily injury? I'm disturbed that I'm telling you this story, though, because I give no credence whatever to Jerome Corsi, and he's such a flack for the Bush administration, I don't know what his motive is. I can posit a couple of them. It could be that Jerome Corsi is trying to do his best to get the so-called conservative movement away from George Bush so that in 2008 they can stand up and say, "No, conservatism's still the way to go. Only we can save America and make you safe. It was that screw-up George Bush and Alberto Gonzalez and Karl Rove that did it all. We didn't know they was so bad." And then offer us... what? Rudy Giuliani? John McCain? Is that it? Or is this some sort of the double, triple cross thing where people run with it and then get burned like Dan Rather did? Bauman's letter went so far as to suggest that the victims may have willingly participated in or even enjoyed the acts of pedophilia involved. Quote, "As you know, consent is frequently an issue in sexual assault cases. Although none of the victims admit they consented to the sexual contact, none resisted or voiced any objection to the conduct." Sounds to me like Mr. Bauman needs to spend some time in the stir. And when the big dude comes to him and tells him that he's going to be his prison girlfriend, see how loudly Bauman objects or protests. And what he does when the big dude looks at him and says, "You know you like this, honey." None resisted or voiced any objection to the conduct. Man, when it's the screws who are doing it to you, who are you going to complain to? Several of the victims suggested that they were simply getting off on the school administrator. And Sutton and Gonzalez, according to this freak Corsi, are up to their eyeballs in it. Shame. Justice Department Section Chief Albert Moskowitz wrote that evidence does not establish a prosecutable violation of the federal criminal rights statutes. These are boys. God. These are boys between the ages who are in the care, custody, rehabilitation, and reestablishment and control of the Texas Youth Commission. They range in age from 10 to 17. From 10 to 17. But Bertie Gonzalez isn't interested, and his little protege Johnny Sutton isn't interested, and Albert Moskowitz isn't interested. And they want to know why a boy between the ages of 10 and 17 didn't say no to the full-grown man who had the power, literally, of life and death over him. I don't understand. I just don't understand. But I do know that the show is over. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed being here with you, as ever. Our announcer is Brian Reznor. Our engineer is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. He has a fundraiser going on. If you value the Horn and you haven't given to Ben, I implore you to do so. I've also been asked to remind you that the guest blogger this week over at Billy Shear's blog at unreportednews.net is none other than the lovely, the talented, the darling Agnes. Go have a look at her take on her music. And, of course, everything happens here at the Horn because there are several thousand members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and they go and they build the American dream. And by building the American dream and supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. No music because I can't find it on the desktop. Night, y'all. There it is.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Number 3 Senate Dem urges Gonzalez to quit. Cheney says Congress is undermining the U.S. troops. Army Surgeon General resigns. Israelis and Palestinians in secret contacts. FDNY union bursts Giuliani's 9/11 aura. Russians say Iran nuke plant to be delayed. Nevada Dems nix Fox debate. Has Ann Coulter hit her tipping point? Iran leader wants to defend the nuke program. Brown wants new world order to fight global warming. Chavez launches biting U.S. attack. Al Gore's interactive current TV comes to Britain to save democracy. Hillary says, I'm the JFK of 2008. Fallback strategy for Iran? Train locals, draw down forces. That's from the military. 2008 campaign will test the privacy of candidates' personal lives. Can Christian Coalition aid the 08 campaign? And greenhouse effect is a myth, says scientists. I'm not a myth. And these are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.